that guided us through the sermon last week. Number one, all the gifts are available to the church as the Holy Spirit desires. All of them. So no man has any right to say what he has or will not, what the Holy Spirit has or will not do. Every believer has at least one gift, and no believer has all of the gifts, right? Thirdly, your gift will reveal or manifest itself as you are involved. And therefore, for you to pray and ask God to show you what your gift is and you don't plan to do anything, or you're not doing anything, is presumptuous sin. Your gift will make itself known as you get involved in God's business, and particularly involved with God's people. And then lastly, the body of Christ or the church will assist you with your gift. That's what the church is for. That's the reason we're called a body. The body is given to help each other, to build each other up, to help nurture, to help train. The body will help you. Now, last week we only had time to look at one of the gifts, and by God's grace, I hope to cover about three of them today before we depart. You remember prophecy was the first gift we looked at, and I'll give you the simple definition for those who may not have been here. It's simply this. Prophecy is the immediate inspiration from the Holy Spirit, the immediate inspiration from God to speak truth from God. It's not something that's planned and rehearsed. It's revealed. You're sitting there, and the Spirit of God reveals something. He prompts you. He shows you something that you are to speak for God's people. Prophecy. And the result of that is to bring edification to the church. It's to bring exhortation, to exhort the church to go on with God, to follow Him. It's also to bring comfort. That word that God would give the person who would speak that prophecy oftentimes comforts a troubled heart. So God has given these gifts for our good. Would you agree with that? We need these gifts in our midst. Today, then, and before I leave that, I just want to remind you that the gift of prophecy obviously is needed in worship. But I believe from my more recent study that prophecy is also beneficial. If you have the gift of prophecy, you are needful in counseling ministry. God reveals things that will search people's hearts. Sometimes being around a person with the gift of prophecy makes you uneasy because you're not real sure what they're going to say. They're not so much concerned about whether they're going to hurt your feelings. God shows them something and they speak it. Amen. And they leave the result to God. You know, in other words, they're not giving you their opinion. And you know it because what they said. How does the scripture say in the book of Acts that their hearts were pierced? So he says something, and it pierces your heart. And so don't get angry at the person who's exercising their gift. They're not trying to get at you. They're simply using their gift for the what? Glory of God and for your good. All right? And for those of you who have the gift, there are times when people may lash back at you. And that's just, we've got to learn to crucify, to not be so reactionary. When God is confronting you with something that you need to hear. Amen. Don't get angry at the messenger. I mean, you see that in the Old Testament, right? They got angry at the messenger because they didn't want to hear the message from God. I want to give you two more principles today, and then we're going to look at these three gifts quickly, Lord willing. You ready? Two more principles. Number one, there is no complete list of spiritual gifts in the Scripture. All right? No complete list of all of the gifts in the Scripture. What do I mean by that? The Bible is not making attempts to give you all of the Holy Spirit's special abilities. Right? These are grace gifts, special abilities from the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the Bible isn't trying to give you those in those five lists I read to you. So what's the point? The point is that the Bible is giving you principles of how to use the gifts. And in order to do that, the Bible gives you examples of gifts. So when I get done in just a few weeks, you might say, well, I don't know. I still feel like maybe you didn't cover my gift. That's not the intent. I'm not trying to cover all of the special abilities that the Holy Spirit gives. I'm just trying to give you examples, principles for how they're used, and to give you some examples that we have. All right? So that's one principle. The second principle is this. You must give special attention to your special gift. You must give special attention to your special gift. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Gifts, your special gift, can be misused or unused. You can misuse your gift, and that's what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are written for. They are written to correct people that are misusing the special gifts of God. You remember how he starts 1 Corinthians? All the gifts are there. You are lacking in no gift. But oh, how you are misusing them. Oh, how you are abusing and bringing shame to the name of Christ with the way you are misusing his gifts. But then you can also have gifts and they be unused or neglected. And so Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, I believe it's verse 14, and says, do not neglect the gift that within you. Right? Why would he have to tell him that? Because there is a tendency in all, it really doesn't matter how, quote, spiritual you think you are. There's a tendency in all of us as Christians to neglect. Because if you are using your gift, it will, I promise you, get you in trouble. There are times that you will be misunderstood when you are using your gift of God. Well, how do you know? Look at Christ. You want to see the perfect example of someone misunderstood, abused, and ultimately killed? When he said, all that I do is to what? Please the Father. I guarantee you, you using your gift for the glory of God and the good of the church, you're going to be misunderstood. So, here's the point. Don't let that cause you to not use your gift. Don't shy away from using your gift because there can be consequences. All of us like to be liked. Is that reality? I mean, I know sometimes y'all think preachers just like to stir up trouble. I like to be liked, but it just doesn't work that way all the time. I'd love for you to just be so bubbly with me rather than seeing that anger at times. But that's not my call. And it's not your call. Amen. It's not just a preacher's job to face hard things and difficult things. It's everyone's call to do what God has charged you to do and leave the consequences to Him. Amen. So, then give special attention rather than your misusing your gift or unusing your gift being neglected or unused. What Romans 12 says is this: if your gift is prophecy, what to do? Prophecy. If your gift is teaching, what should you do? So you see what he's saying? Give your gift special attention. Give your special gift special attention. If this is your gift, do that. Don't look at someone else's gift and say, this causes trouble, I'd like doing that because it doesn't seem like they have trouble. That's not true. Don't do that. What he's given you, use. So I'll leave. I won't try to go. That's two principles for today, all right? Y'all got those? All right. Let's try to dive into these gifts real quick. You ready? Romans 12, the next gift we're looking at is in verse 7. It's a gift of service. You see that in verse 7? If service in his serving. What is service? Your gift, your Bible, if you got King James or other translations, it may say ministry. Okay, it's the same word, diakonia. It's the, you know, where we get deacon, right? So don't be troubled if your translation says ministry. Same word. What is the gift of service, or what is the gift of ministry? I define it this way: it's the supernatural concern and ability to meet practical needs of people in a special way. It's not just natural. It's not just to look at a situation naturally and see what people need and do it. No, these are special abilities, right? God gives you a burden that won't go away. You are sitting and looking, wondering, why didn't anybody else see this? Why isn't anybody else doing this? You see, if your gift is service, don't start asking those kind of questions. Do it. You see the point? So it's the supernatural power of God working in someone to give them that supernatural concern for people and that supernatural ability to meet practical needs, right? Everybody else is looking way up here, but you're looking, you're seeing, you notice that they didn't have shoestrings. I wonder why. See, I noticed that their stomach was growling today. And I wonder why. You know, you see what I'm saying. The one with this gift is not looking at all of the hype. They see real, rudimentary issues. Give me 1 Timothy 4. I'll show you where the word is another place. 1 Timothy 4 and verse. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 11. Listen to this. Here's the word. Paul says, only Luke is with me. But listen at him. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. That's the word. What he's saying? Luke, bring Mark, because Mark meets my practical needs. He's been uniquely gifted of God, and I need him now. You see what he says? He's useful to me. Yes, I got people around me, but there's something that Mark does that others don't do. You see it? It's not that other people aren't here helping me, but my brother, my sister, if you have the gift of service, you are needed in special ways. You do things, and so to you, that doesn't seem like a big deal. If God is giving you the ability to do it, it is a big deal. And not only that, it's a needful deal. That's probably not the best word, but it's needful. That's what he says. Bring him. You remember, now you know the story, right? They busted up, but Mark was a major problem in the ministry of Paul and Silas, Barnabas, right? I mean, he had a major falling out with Barnabas because of Mark. They went their separate ways, but oh, look at what God does. lo and behold, the very one who you thought was trouble, you find out down the road, I need him. Or I need her. Got it? And it's the same thing that you, I believe I heard Pastor McCurry reading this when I was in the back. Acts 6, you all know that you're familiar with the Acts 6 account, right? Where they got those prototypes of the deacons, the first look we get at deacons. You remember the problem was that you got the church is growing rapidly, and you've got widows, right, that are there in Jerusalem, and you've got Jewish-speaking widows and Greek-speaking widows. Well, you got this probably a little bit of racism causing a problem here, but you got these Greek widows that are being neglected, right? And what? Their daily needs, practical needs, were being neglected, right? And so then you find verse 2 saying, the apostles then, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect. You see it? We can't neglect the word. We cannot neglect our gift. We can't lay our gift down to do what? Neglect the word of God in order to serve, that's the word, to serve tables. So we want to use our gift as God has called us to, and we see a need here. And so you look out among yourselves and find men with this gift. Amen. To what? Serve. That's the word. To serve the needs, to meet the needs of these widows. So that's the point. I don't think I'm going to get through 3. So I'll just go as far as I can, and we'll pick up next week, okay? Because I don't want to rush this. I think this is so important. I'll be kind of candid with you. I don't know. There are times in my life where I sense this urgency. Sometimes I feel like life's not long, but I have an urgency to get a job done in a very thorough way. And I was planning to kind of move quickly through these things, but I can't. So I'm going to cover as much as I can. You know, I don't want to wear you out, but y'all pray for me, because I wrestle with my calling just like you do. But this is so important. So what am I saying here? I'm saying the gift of service is deacon-type work. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say it was the work of the deacon. If you don't like deacon-like work. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's ministry that looks at physical needs, practical needs of people. And so what are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying that some of you all have this gift and you're not a deacon. And don't lay back and say, well, the deacons will take care of it. No. Now, the deacons have to have this gift, but some of you have it too. See, this is written to the church. There's some of you that have this gift, and you can't understand why you're always focusing on people's needs. I'm trying to help you understand that. And stop fighting the Spirit. Stop resisting Him. Amen. Yield to Him. Why is He showing you? You need to start asking those kind of questions. What would you have me to do? You need to get to the point that Isaiah was when he could finally say, here I am, Lord, what? Send me. All right. So deacon type work. And I want to follow the pattern because who's the perfect example? Jesus Christ, right? Now, there's another scene out of the life of Christ that you're all familiar with, John 13. You remember this is when he's having the last meal Passover meal with his disciples in John 13. I'll just pick up the story at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which was he was girded. And he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you." So what can we learn from this text about the gift of service? First of all, would you notice that the person with the gift of service is sensitive to people's needs, right? Everybody else is sitting around eating. Everybody else is, they're all full. Nobody is sitting around observing that everybody's feet is dirty. And see, we don't think of it much in our day, but you see, in this day, you didn't have paved streets, right? You had dusty roads, and you didn't have closed-toe shoes. So you had what, you remember how John the Baptist said, "I'm not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals." So basically what you wore was sandals. So what happens when you walk around in dust and dirt with sandals? Your feet get dirty. Do they get a little dirty? They get very dirty. And so when you go to people's houses, your shoes, again, there is no welcome mat to clean your feet and go in the house. What do you have to do? Take your shoes off, leave them at. Did you know that that's kind of where that started? Some families still carry that. That's not a bad habit to have in your family. I'm getting way off course here. But that's something to learn from the Bible, you know. Help keep your floors clean. Leave the shoes at the door. In the name of the Lord. And so, But you take your sandals off, you leave them at the door, but then what do you have left? Dirty feet. Now, you don't have dirty shoes, but you still got dirty feet. And it was customary when you go visit someone and leave your shoes at the door that the first thing you meet was a foot pan. To do what? Wash your feet. Now, in many cases, or at least in some, they had a servant there at the door to do what? Wash feet. But you remember, who was it Jesus was having a dinner with? Simon, was it? Remember having a dinner with Simon? They'd all come in and ate, and the woman comes in. You remember crying? And tears were dropping on his what? Feet, and she began drying it with that day. And he said that, "Simon, you're criticizing this woman, but I came to your house. Nobody washed my feet. Nobody was concerned enough about me to give me that kind of courtesy." You see the point? But now this woman comes in and shows me common courtesy, and all you can do is criticize her. You see? That's not the gift of service. That's the gift of gab and criticism. And that's not from God. But what you have here then is they all got together, they're done eating, and no one washed feet, right? So what is the one with the gift of service, what do they see? We got a whole lot of stinky feet, dirty feet. Nobody else is doing anything, so the one with the gift of service says, this needs to be done, right? This needs to be done. So the gift of service is sensitive to physical needs of people. And then you notice in the story, what did Jesus use? He used what was available to him. He didn't say I need to send out an order in a pail of water or some, I need to run over to Sam's and get some liquid soap. Whatever's here, let's use it. Because the job needs to get done when? By the time we run over to Sam's, either the opportunity is gone or the need is not there. So whatever God has placed in my hands, use it. You see it? That's what he did. He got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel. There was a towel there. He girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash their feet and wipe it with the towel. So he uses available resources. I also notice that the person with the gift of service is willing to meet the needs of people personally. In other words, this gift says, no service is too demeaning for me. I told you before, this was a job typically done by a servant in somebody's house. The owner, the homeowner, the guest wouldn't consider washing somebody's feet. My hired servant washed feet. Or you wash your own feet. But look at the Son of God. Look at the servant. Look at the Son of Man. He says, if it needs to be done, I'll show you what it means to serve. I didn't come to be served, but what? To serve. So this is, you're getting a picture here of the willingness of someone to give their life if it will help another. The gift of service is willing to give whatever it takes to meet another's need. And sometimes you're misunderstood. And those of you with the gift of service know what I'm talking about. There's sometimes, if you're married, this can cause some serious problems. I mean, it's the same thing with the gift of prophecy. Those of you who have it know that in your house, you probably cause trouble. Because people don't understand why you are always the one that have to confront everybody and things are going wrong. And they think that you find pleasure in doing that. But no, it's the gift. You have to be careful not to abuse. You remember what I said? You can abuse your gift. So the person with the gift of prophecy needs to be wise. You need to know the right time, right? Because that's what Jesus would say, that the spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. You can control the time. Once God has shown you, let God give you the right wisdom as to the time to speak. And the same thing with the gift of service. That can cause you trouble, because if you're married, your spouse just does not understand why you always out helping somebody else. Amen. And the leaves been laying out there for 2 months. Yeah. Why are you fixing somebody else's car and mine been chugging along here for a few weeks? And so we have to be careful not to bring shame to the name of Christ, because you got the gift of service. Look at your house. Surely if you can see other people's car who needs some maintenance, you can see your own. That way you got things right at the house and you got greater liberty. Now, I'd be the first to admit that sounds so good, but if there's anybody that ever got in trouble, you're looking at it. So we got to grow in grace with these gifts, all right? You also notice that the person with the gift of service is a man or woman of few words. Did Jesus say anything? The Bible says, he got done with supper. He'd already seen what needs to be done. What did he do? Got up and did it. There's no need to have a meeting. I, I know I'm going to get in trouble here, but I'm going to say it. You know, there's no need to call the pastor. I saw something that needed to be done. Let's get it done. Amen. And you notice Jesus didn't brag about it. He didn't want the whole church to know. See, the gift of service is not about that. They're not about tooting their own horn. They want to get the job done. Well, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to at least get two, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to exasperate you. So I hope that you can see that this gift is needful in places like the clothing ministry. This gift is needed in places like the food pantry. This gift is needed in the kitchen. All right? This gift is needed in the diaconate. And you can just look around you. You need people in these places who see what needs to be done and who are willing not to just go talk to folks about it, but who are willing to get in there and get it done. What if the kitchen ministry says, you know, we're going to have some fried chicken next week. Let's have a conference meeting. Let's see if we can get everybody together and agree that we need fried chicken. And then let's see if we need to get a committee together to go shop. We need to get folks together to do, to get in the building, to unload. You can see that if these ministries don't function on the basis of what needs to be done, and I'm willing to do it, then we're in trouble. Amen. New Hope Baptist, I'm just wanting you to see that we are blessed to have many of these gifts functioning week after week. And we're just taking it for granted. But the Bible says we're a body, right? And there's times you need to thank God for your hand. There's times that you may not think much about your hand until you hurt it. You need to thank God for your hand before you hurt it. Right? You need to thank God for your eyes before you have a problem with them. So if you see these people willing to give of themselves, give of their lives, these people working in the clothing ministry and the food and the kitchen and the diaconate, these people aren't doing this for praise. You walk in here week after week, you see things done. That's not magic. Somebody had to do that. And we ought to thank people. I love you, brother. I love you, sister, for the work you're doing. Because you remember what we saw before. You see, you get to see preachers and teachers and all up before you week after week, but there's so much more fundamental work that has to be done for us to carry on as a church. We need to be sure not to take those people for granted. Amen. I'm going to leave it there. You know, I want to say this as I close, though. There was one other thing. You remember in Matthew 13, Jesus, after having given a parable, he said that Isaiah, I believe it was the prophet Isaiah that wrote, and he said that these people who are listening to me have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. And Jesus said the reason is because their hearts have become dull. They have closed themselves to truth. Now, New Hope, listen to me just a minute. Miracles were being worked around these people frequently. Yeah. But it was as if they didn't see them. You remember how the Pharisees and Sadducees were? You remember when they brought the blind man in? You remember what they said? That a miracle has been worked. We can't deny that. Well, we ain't going to let that move us. Yeah, we can't deny that this man was blind and he see, but we're not going to let that work its way to the logical conclusion. We're not going to give any credit to Jesus for that. Miracles were being worked. The gospel, the truth was being preached, but they were not affected. That's a dangerous thing. You got God working in your midst and you're not moved. No conviction, no humility, no love, nothing. Week after week, God is at work among you. And you see nothing. You live like you see nothing. You live like you hear nothing. You live like nothing affects us. That's a dangerous place. My brother, my sister, what do you see? I just want you to take a minute and think about what do you see in our little congregation? What do you hear? What do you hear in our congregation? Do you see that Jesus loves you? Do you hear that Jesus loves you? Do you see that people need you? What are you listening to? Are you listening to yourself trying to talk yourself down? You're not important. Nobody cares. I'm not needed. Do you hear Jesus saying, I saved you because you're important? Do you hear people saying, we need you? Ask you another question. Do you see that you need people? Do you see that God didn't design you to live alone and just take care of your own business? Do you hear that with your heart? God has proven that you are special to Him. Here's what I mean. The Father gave His Son because He loved you. The Son gave His life for you because He loved you. The Holy Spirit gave you special gifts because He loves you. And the Bible says God has given us His great and precious gifts. His precious and magnificent promises. God has proven without any doubt, with undeniably, New Hope, God has proven how much He loves us. So the only question is, what does it take to move you? Remember one of the prophets stood before God's people and said, how long will you halt between two decisions? Remember that? If God be God, serve Him. I guess that's all I'm saying to you, my brother, my sister. You have enough truth now to know that you need to get on about God's business. Some of you are already about God's business. But I think all of us would confess that God's not done with me yet. Right? There's more. So I pray that Jesus would enlighten the eyes of our hearts
that we would see not only what we have, but see that we need to use it for His glory, for the good of the church. Our Father, we're such a blessed people. When we take just a few minutes to think about what you've given to this little congregation, our hearts go out to you in praise and thanksgiving. You, Lord, can speak to us as you spoke to the church at Corinth, that we are lacking in no gift. We believe you, that you have equipped us to get the work, to get the job done. Would you now encourage and exhort, comfort our hearts that we may be engaged in the ministry you've called us to do. Remember the one who's been beat down, Lord, by life and disappointments in ministry. Help the one who's found rejection and complaints as they have attempted to serve you. Help them to hear you say again and again that their service is not in vain. And then stir the heart to be engaged in love. Love for you and love for your people. This is our prayer in Jesus' great name. Amen. Let's just...